track 8, and now we come to letters to the editor. There is a letter by Jeff Petty about the cost of net zero, and this is about global politics, so we have decided not to read it. The first one is by M.A. Williams of Tynmouth, ashamed of Tynmouth. On Saturday, the 26th of October, we witnessed a series of disgusting incidents at Tynmouth Railway Station. We were seeing a Canadian friend onto the London train for her return home. Disembarking from the local train came a stream of foul-mouthed drunks. They staggered along, bumping into anyone in their way, waving cigarettes and beer cans, a couple of them vomiting as they attempted the stairs. This was made much worse by the fact there wasn't one railway person to be seen, either during or before this horror. No one was ever available for either the arriving or departing trains. How can this be? No one was available to give information, to assist passengers, or to be there in case of accidents or problems. I love Tynmouth and was proud to show our visitors around, but Saturday spoiled this. The drunks were then seen staggering into town, where I guessed there wouldn't be any police presence either. Would someone please look into this nightmare event before it continues to happen?
The next letter is written by Laurie Cuthbert, Director of Kidney Care UK, and it's entitled Bloody Amazing Kidneys. I'm writing to encourage your readers to check their kidneys, because we found out that one in five people, 21% in the Southwest, do not know the leading signs of chronic kidney disease, an illness that has no cure and affects one in 10 people in the UK, which equates to 7.2 million people. Now that public discussions on the 10-year plan for the NHS have begun, there has never been a better time to start a national conversation about kidney health. The earlier someone is identified as having chronic kidney disease, more can be done to prolong their kidney health and ultimately avoiding progressing to kidney failure, which requires dialysis or transplant. As part of our national Bloody Amazing Kidneys awareness campaign, we're encouraging people to take a few minutes to see if they might be at risk of developing kidney disease. And Laurie Cuthbert has included a website address where you can check your own kidney health. And it's here, www.kidneycareuk.org/kidneyhealthchecker-letter. That's www.kidneycareuk.org/kidneyhealthchecker-letter.
And the next letter is from Brian Horsman from Tynmouth. And the title is anyone else saddened by the drab and dismal appearance of the new Dawlish seawall? It now looks like a relic of the 60s, brutalist design phase, ugly and stained. It may have won an award for the designer, presumably for its technical solution, but it has no empathy for its historic setting. If the barren acres of concrete had been tinted to match the colour of the cliffs, not an expensive exercise given the scale and budget of the project, it would have lessened its impact, but this was obviously beyond the imagination of the team involved. Regrettably, we will, unless they have a generous cleaning budget, have to live with its increasingly shabby appearance. Poor Dawlish.
The next letter is from Robert Vickery of Dawlish, and it's about water plans. The front page item, Storm Brewing Over Water Plans, in the Dawlish Gazette of November the 7th, appears to echo comment I put on Facebook, Eyes of Dawlish Group Discussion, which drew 61 further comments from others. The consultation event put on by South West Water was supported by only one person clearly identifying as belonging to that organisation. He answered questions, but the trail of people wanting to speak with him left many frustrated and unsatisfied. Among the disconnected diagrams scattered around the council chamber were two which deserved greater prominence. The small coloured map and the timeline of work showed that not only is South West Water intending to dig two enormous holes in the lawn, but there are to be 10 separate roadworks around central Dawlish which are needed to install new separate drainage connecting surface water gullies that will carry storm water to the tanks in the lawn. Some of this work is to take place over months, Brook Street over 4 months, and which will have a huge impact on vehicle circulation and parking. There is an obvious concern about South West Water will avoid damaging the lawn, the waterfowl and programme of events. There was no explanation of this on the 11 panels. How many heavy lorries excavated material away and deliver plant and new material to line and cover the tanks? No mention was made and the impact on Dawlish life and trade was overlooked. Where will the excavated material be taken and how will the environmental concerns be addressed? How will the tanks be carried for the first town to benefit from carried out extensive works trouble for the future? But they're also functional requirements and the added works at the seafront, in which drew in members of the town council and the public. South West Water would do well to follow the excellent example set by National Rail and negotiate balancing public benefits. And that concludes letters to the editor.